Welcome to the Tuesday edition of The Encouraging Word with Dr. Don Wilton. We'll discover that encouragement from the Bible itself. The Encouraging Word. Today we pick up kind of where we left off yesterday in discovering your story and my story in the middle of the story, God's story. God is so not finished with you. You know, sometimes we find ourselves at a particular stage in life or after a tragic situation going, oh, there's nothing I can do. Oh, no, God is ready to use you today in a remarkable way as you discover maybe the next chapter in your story. If you'd like to have someone pray with you about it, we'd love to do that. Keyboard to keyboard at the website, theencouragingword.org, or on the phone at 866-899-WORD. That's 866-899-9673. We really would love to connect with you. And now, Dr. Don Wilton.
Chapter 4, verse 1. And on, we're going to read about Sanballat, the sewer rat, and Tobiah, the tick bite. By the way, there were a lot of people here who didn't want the wall to be rebuilt. So I'm just going to go ahead and say it, John. There are a lot of people, when your walls are broken down, that are actually going to oppose the fact that you are going to rebuild your wall. They don't want you to rebuild that wall. They prefer you to live your life with a broken wall. All right? Number 6, lots of people. Lots of people. Verse 4, right throughout Nehemiah, you're going to read about lots of people. You see, what happened to John Trammell does not just affect John Trammell. It affects his wife and his children and his mother and his father and his friends and everybody. Because when you've got something broken down in your heart, it's going to affect others. All right, number 7, jolly hard work. That's my 7th thing I want you to take. Jolly hard work. Write it down. All of you write that down. Jolly hard work. I mean, this is not, you don't just fall out of bed and this is going to happen. All right, number 8, untold joy. Untold joy. I read to you chapter 12 and verse 43. I had to get to the good part before we started, John. You know, I don't want anybody to despair. But John, something happened to you, and evidently, just to get you going here, and then I'm going to be quiet. You heard me talk, preach a message from God's Word, from this story. Right. Not necessarily in this, the whole story. This was not necessarily in this series. Tell us what happened, John. Just share your heart with us. Well, take us on a journey.
This is probably the story of a lot of people here. More than 15 years ago, you know, back when I was in school, my brother was in school, our family split apart. You know, my father decided he was going to leave. And after that, you know, mom couldn't pay the bills. And so we had to move out of our house. So just like that, the security of home, the security of a family were gone. And the thing I remember most about all that happened during that time was standing in the driveway at my parents' house. And, you know, watching my dad get in the car and drive away. And I was just filled with hatred and sadness and anger and frustration and disappointment. And that stuff would carry on with me for years after that. And I didn't have a relationship with God at that time. So, I didn't have my faith to fall back on during that difficult time.
John, was you speak about a hatred. Mm-hmm. It's not like you were running around brandishing a sword. It was an inner mm-hmm. thing, wasn't it? And then, I mean, during this life, you meet Charlotte. I mean, mm-hmm. but you here you are falling in love and going through school and living out life. But deep inside, there's a broken wall.
That's right.
Did you find yourself going to bed often with this kind of back there all the time? It affects everything. Tell us about it.
It's in the back of your mind. It affects everything. I don't know, you just have this built-up anger and this drive to somehow prove that, you know, when a parent abandons you, you have that drive to prove that you're worthy of love, I think. And that, you know, manifested itself in different ways.
Did you sort of, I mean, your dad just up and left, right?
Gone.
I mean, gone.
Yep.
Did he call you? Or?
No. In fact, you know, the story kind of picks up in the spring of last year.
Well, hold on that a minute, because, I mean, you're talking about now a period of time, a good period of time, where,
right.
Am I correct in saying your father was gone?
I had written him off as dead to me, and we did not speak for more than 15 years. I didn't see him. I didn't speak to him. I didn't know anything about him.
You didn't even know where he lived or anything.
No.
It's like this man, your father, just mm-hmm. one day walks. And I've got this picture of you as a boy standing in a driveway mm-hmm. with this incredible pain. All right, so what happened? What began to change?
So typical Sunday, our family came to church like we normally do. And the message was on forgiveness. And the scriptural basis was the book of Matthew. And the first verse that really got my attention was chapter 6 and verse 15. And Jesus is speaking, and he says, if you do not forgive others for their sins, then your Father in heaven will not forgive your sins. And so that was powerful. And then the other piece of scripture was chapter 18. It's a parable that Jesus told about the unmerciful servant. And we read through that in church, and immediately I was blown away. And I said, this person who Jesus is upset with is me. Because here in the last 15 years, at one point I came into the presence of God. I asked him to forgive my sins based on Jesus' sacrifice. And he did. And the debt was canceled right then and right there. But here I go through life, you know, holding someone else accountable for a debt that they owe to me that they can't repay. And Jesus said, it doesn't work that way. And so God spoke that day. You know, I had an assignment. I knew what I was supposed to do. And standing right up there at the end of the service, you know, I was in personal prayer. And I said, you know what? I'm going to do that, but I'm going to do it later. And I went about life, and I pushed it aside.
So God spoke to you clearly. You mm-hmm. could see your story. You found your story mm-hmm. in the story. But you said, you know, I know this wall. I mean, you didn't call it a wall.
Right.
But I know there's a broken wall in my life. Despite all these blessings, and I know I've got to ask God to help me rebuild this wall, but not now.
Right.
So, I mean, it is possible to hear God speak and then to tell him to hold on. Mm-hmm. Right?
It is.
So what did that do to you?
Well, you know, I went through the summer, had a great summer, everything was fine. And then I've always had great health, no problems to speak of. And all of a sudden in September, I was traveling internationally. I got an infection. So it was one of these countries that Steve spoke about where you don't want to drink the water and you certainly don't want to go see a doctor. So I waited until I got home and got to the doctor, and all of a sudden I started having pains in different parts of my body. And the pain got worse and worse, and this persisted through September, October, and in November. You know, needless to say, there was lots of doctor's visits and tests and things like that. But there were no answers. The good news was the test came back negative. The bad news was, I don't know what's going on, you know? So the longer that goes on, if you've ever been through something like that, you'll understand when I say psychologically, that was maybe more challenging than the physical part. So in early November, ironically, right around my dad's birthday, things just blew up. The pain got basically unbearable. You know, Charlotte and I contemplated an ER visit multiple times. So we kept going with the doctors, and I ended up where, you know, I couldn't eat. I lost a lot of weight very quickly. I couldn't drive my car. And finally, you know, I couldn't go to work. And so, you know, here I was in the summertime seeing Dr. Wilton at the gym, you know, very healthy, and suddenly I can't even pick up my 2-year-old daughter. And that, I ended up at home trying to manage the pain and waiting on a somewhat emergency surgery to happen on Monday, November 18th. And still, you know, I started reflecting on things, obviously a lot of prayer, and I came to the conclusion that, you know, these scriptures in Matthew, they were just gnawing at me, and I had to act on it. You know, if I'm going to go, you know, you don't know what's going on. What if your time's up? What if you're going to stand in front of the one who created the universe? Are you ready for that? And there was some business left for me to handle, and I wasn't ready if that was a possibility. And so I started on a Friday, got on Google, started trying to find information, and it was hard. I mean, I could have given up. One thing led to another. It persisted over 4 days, and finally, on Monday, just an hour before I had to be at the hospital, I got a cell phone number from my dad. And he lives in a different part of the country. You know, I didn't know that. So I just called him up out of the blue. And, you know, I didn't recognize his voice. I had to confirm that it was him. He didn't recognize mine. And I just simply said, you know, this is your son. This is John. And, you know, I proceeded and said, I want you to know that I forgive you for everything you've ever done to hurt me. And I hope you forgive me for everything I've ever done to hurt you. And there was a stunned silence. And there were tears on both sides. I'm not somebody who usually manifests emotions through crying, but that did it. And I don't remember the rest of that conversation, but somewhere in there, he used the word miracle and something he had been praying about for a long time.
John, if this was an initial, I'm going to use a very important, how did you feel in your heart when you said, Dad? I mean, here you're calling this man Dad, and you're saying, I'm your son. These are words that for over 15 years have never been, you know, they haven't been part of the fabric of your life. In fact, that was just a shattered concept. What did you feel when you said from your heart, you know, I forgive you, and would you forgive me? What did you feel?
There was a peace. I knew 100% I was within God's will for what I was supposed to do at that moment. And I'll tell you the way the story ends, it wraps up around Christmas time. And it's actually the beginning of a new story, I think. But, you know, when I called my dad, 15 years came and went. He missed everything. You know, I graduated college, as Dr. Wilton mentioned. I got married, became a Christian. We had two beautiful daughters that were born. Lots of other blessings that I don't want to bore you with, but we couldn't share with him over 15 years. In fact, he had no idea he had grandchildren when I called him, because I had written him off as dead and refused to speak of him. And they didn't know, my girls didn't know, they had a second grandfather. So when I told them about that, they were ecstatic. So we talked a couple times after that in December and decided he'll come visit and meet the family for Christmas. You know, so he traveled a long way to be here. And, you know, the thing I remember about that is a couple days before Christmas, I get the phone call. It says, you know, he's getting close to the house. And I said, you know, I'll walk out in the driveway so he'll know which house it is. And I didn't even think about the fact that he doesn't know what I look like now anyway. And, you know, the girls were behind me. They were pressing their noses in the window trying to get a peek at what's going on. And as I'm standing there in the driveway, you know, just for a moment, I was taken back in time to the moment we just mentioned where I was standing there over 15 years ago, you know, watching him leave. And remember those feelings that I had and how it weighed me down for years after that. And then as soon as, you know, that thought was fleeing, I looked up and here comes a car around the curb that I don't recognize, and I knew it was him. And, you know, at that moment, it was just an extreme sense of peace that has stayed with me until now. You know, this burden, this weight that pressed down, it was like it was pressing down on my shoulders for years. And just in an instant, God took it away. I mean, that's something only God could do.
There's so much more to come. And, you know, as we gain insight from each other's stories, whether it be Dr. Don's story or John's story, or perhaps your story right now that's being written out by the power of God in your life, both through circumstances and literally through those circumstances, just know that we're here for you. Dr. Don insists I interrupt so that you would know that this is not just a presentation, it's a conversation. And if you'd like to speak with someone, we're here at the other end of 866-899-WORD. I know that we type and we text and we talk a little bit less on the phone today, but rediscover the power of a conversation. We'd love to pray with you about whatever God stirred your heart to. Again, the number is 866-899-9673. I suggest you store it in your cell or jot it down someplace, because this routes to one of us 24 hours a day, and we would love to pray with you. Again, the number is 866-899-9673, or meet us online at theencouragingword.org. Now back to today's message, finding your story in the story with Dr. Don Wilton.
John, tell us just quickly about the college. I love what you told me about what happened with the college. I mean, this is a great kind of cherry on the top here, because he didn't see you graduate, right?
Yeah, you know, he missed my college graduation. And we talked about big events, obviously. When he came to our house, we showed him wedding pictures, talked about college graduation and all that. And, I'm sitting at work about a week and a half ago, and out of the blue, I get an email, and it says, hey, we videoed your entire college graduation ceremony 14 years ago, and it's posted at this link. And I went to the link, and sure enough, there's a camera right below the stage, and you can watch me walk across just like you're sitting there in person. And so I forwarded it to him, and he said, now I got to see you graduate.
I just think, you know, God, when God rebuilds the wall of your life, there's nothing that's too big or too impossible for him. John, what do you say, you know, to someone who's right now, God is just tapping on your heart, and you know there's a bitterness in your life, or and with reason. Can I say this, John? Mm-hmm. Sure. I don't think I've said this. I never thought I'd ever say this, but in a way, I think you had a right to be bitter. I mean, you were really hurt. This was not like, well, your dad left, you know, just get over it. I think, you know, pain has a real root. There are people who, you know, your wall is broken down, and for good reason. You don't need to justify that. You don't need to say, well, you know, you just don't understand what this did to me. Because what did happen to you is very real. And God has got a plan. What would you say to that person who's been assaulted as a child, abused, someone who's been belittled? You know, maybe you were bullied. Maybe you were left out. Maybe you were just robbed, you know, of your dignity. Maybe you just sinned. You just flat out sinned against God. I mean, you did wrong. You sinned against God. Nehemiah chapter 1, when you get into verse 4 and follow, did you notice how Nehemiah, I mean, he didn't mess around. He just said, Lord, we've sinned against you. You need to go to the Lord and just say, Lord, I've sinned and I repent of that sin. And I'm sorry for what I've done. And I know that I've done wrong. And here's what God's going to do. He's going to rebuild the wall. In John's case, you know, I find it hard to say John sinned. I think your dad did. And I don't know your dad, but I can't turn to John, you know. We always want to turn around and say, well, you did something to God. Well, I don't see a young man like that whose father turns around and walks. I don't see God looking down upon him, but he carried the pain of that, and his wall broke down. He went through his youth and college and marriage and all these things with a broken wall. Sometimes we live out this life and we graduate and we fall in love and we've got children and we've got blessings. We're back in Jerusalem and the temple is even rebuilt, but the wall's broken down. And guys, if you've got toxic thoughts, those toxic thoughts have got to manifest themselves. And the way you eliminate that is by turning to the Lord and saying, Lord, this broken wall inside of me, I must forgive my father. I'm going to forgive. I'm going to ask you to forgive. And when you ask God to forgive you, he forgives you. And the second thing you've got to do, everybody listen to this, you've got to forgive yourself. You've got to forgive yourself. You've got to accept what God is doing. And that wall will be reconstructed. And just like in Nehemiah's time, I love that verse 43. That's my favorite verse in chapter 12. Because not only did Nehemiah and the people who worked with him rejoice, and the Jews, but it says also the mothers and the women and the children. I mean, it affected everybody. Mm-hmm. Tell us about your girls, man. They kind of got a new grandpa in their life, don't they?
They did.
Huh?
You know, they've got a papa, so I said, you've got to come up with a new name. And so he's Papa Trammell, yeah.
Papa Trammell. And I bet he hasn't stopped smiling either.
No, he sent a big package at Valentine's Day, and my oldest daughter, Caroline, hasn't let go of the pink bear that she got.
I want to ask you to pick up your pink bear right now. I want you to never let go of that pink bear again. Have you found your story in the story? I want to turn this into an altar of acceptance, an altar of action. I want to turn today into an altar of commitment, an altar of action, an altar of jolly hard work, an altar of surrender. I want you to just give it to the Lord. You may be praying for somebody else. You may be married to that person. You know, I've often wondered, Charlotte, maybe we should have got you up here, you know? You know, I think that's the rest of the story, John. You know, Charlotte, who's a wonderful lady, you know, being married to someone that she knows has got a broken wall. Do you know what it's like to be married to someone whose broken wall has been rebuilt? I mean, it's like a fresh wind, fresh fire. How about you today? If you've got someone in your life, maybe you've got a son today who's living afar off. The reason he's living afar off is because he's got maybe not one, but a number of walls broken down. God will do it, my friend. And I'm telling you, where He takes you is something you can't imagine. I can't get enough of John's story, because it's God's story. Let's unleash the power of God. Can we do that? Can we just unleash the power of God? Can we just say before the Lord, Lord, all that toxicity deep down inside of me, I give it to You. And I ask You, Lord, to remove that from me, because burdens are lifted at Calvary. Maybe today you need to give your heart to the Lord Jesus. Trust Him. I really believe an integral, functional part of John's story is the fact from the time that his dad left until the time that he forgave his father, that he gave his life to Christ. That, to me, is the key. And I'm not so sure whether John or any of us could do that in and of ourselves. Do you think so?
If that's the case, and you need to give your heart to the Lord today, don't delay. Don't put it off. Let us speak with you, pray with you. We can connect right now, maybe answer some questions or pray with you about your decision at 866-899-WORD. That's 866-899-9673. Or if you'd rather, let's go keyboard to keyboard. We'll connect on our website at theencouragingword.org. But again, this is why we're here. We're here to let you know that Jesus has changed our lives so radically, so remarkably, that we must do all that we can to tell you and anyone that would listen about the joy of following Jesus, the joy of knowing Him personally. In my story, in my testimony, I knew about Jesus for a long time, active in the church, but I didn't know Him personally. Do you know Jesus personally? Please take a moment and hear these words from our pastor, Dr. Don Wilton.
God has spoken to you, hasn't He? And you're ready to give your heart to Jesus. I'd love to help you right now.
Would you pray this prayer with me and accept Jesus into your heart and life? Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner. I know that Jesus loves me and died for me on a cross. Right now, I repent of my sin and I confess my sin to the Lord Jesus Christ. Come into my heart and save me today and forgive me for my sin. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you've prayed that prayer, we'd love to get alongside of you and celebrate with you and send you some literature and help you as you begin to grow. And I want you to know that I love you very, very much. And by the way, don't leave. Don't go away, whatever you do, because I'll be right back.
Now, if the Lord has stirred your heart, don't let this day pass without drawing a line in the sand, making this a marker to say, from this day forward, things are going to be different. Because God is all about creating the new path, the new life. God makes dead things new. It's part of His nature, His generative, His creativity, and His love for you. What needs to be made new in your life? We'd love to pray. I wish you would jot it down or store it in your cell. Let us become a contact in your phone of 866-899-9673. It'll connect you 24 hours a day with one of us, happy to talk, to listen, to pray, to put resources in your hands that will help you grow. Again, God has blessed our ministry with a wonderful joy and a wonderful sense of fruit. It's the reality that every single day, someone who's never given their heart to Jesus Christ gives their heart to Christ through the ministry of the encouraging word every single day. And we praise God for that. That is in spite of us, not because of us, but it could be because of you as well. If you'd like to get involved, discover more about becoming an encourager on our website at theencouragingword.org. As a matter of fact, here's more about that from Dr. Don.
Hello, my friends. I want to speak to you personally today from my heart to yours. I don't think there is ever a better or more important time for us to respond to our world by standing up for righteousness. Now, with this in mind, I would like to invite you to become an encourager ministry partner. You see, together we can impact lives both now and for all time and all eternity. The Encouraging Word is a viewer and listener-supported ministry. And to know that you are standing with me financially enables me to move forward with confidence to do the work God has called me to do. So please call the number on your screen and just simply say, I want to become an encourager. Thank you so much for helping me.
The number Dr. Don mentions is the 866-899-WORD number. I hope you'll jot it down, store it in your cell, 866-899-9673. We stand ready to take your call 24 hours a day or meet you online at theencouragingword.org. And I hope you'll join us tomorrow. The Wednesday edition of The Encouraging Word is going to feature a wonderful message from Dr. Don called Everyone's Around. Hope to see you then.